Our scripture reading this morning is found in Psalm 136. Throughout the psalm is that repetition concerning God's mercy that sometimes we might grow weary of hearing that refrain, but we ought to think of that refrain that the psalmist repeats over and over as something like the seasoning that brings out the mercy of God as he repeats these various aspects of God's dealings and God's great wonders, constantly reminding us that these are manifestations of that mercy of God. Psalm 136, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even a heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever." That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. The text that we consider this morning is that first verse of the psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we gather this morning to celebrate Thanksgiving. The first Thanksgiving in the United States is said to have been celebrated in 1621, But long before that celebration of Thanksgiving, thousands of years before, God's people, Israel, celebrated a feast of Thanksgiving after the bringing in of the harvest. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13, we read, "Thou shalt observe the feast of tabernacles 7 days after that thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine." The Feast of Tabernacles was a celebration of God's provision for Israel when they were in the wilderness. During that 40 years in the wilderness, Israel dwelt in tabernacles, in tents. And all that time, God graciously provided for them. In the wilderness, God provided. So now, every year, Israel was commanded to observe that feast, to remember God's gracious provision. Thanksgiving is a good time for us to remember God's gracious provision for us. As we make our pilgrimage through the wilderness of this world and bring as God brings us towards our heavenly home. I like the practice at Thanksgiving when families around the table express all the things that we are thankful for. That's a good practice to give thanks to God for health and strength, to give thanks to God for our families and for friends, to give thanks to God for jobs, to give thanks to God for a faithful church, but especially to give thanks to God for His mercy. That's the Word of God for us this morning, a call to give thanks to Him for His mercy. Let's consider the text under that theme, giving thanks for God's mercy. Use that as our theme. Let's note in the first place the enduring mercy. Secondly, the clear manifestation of that mercy. And lastly, the commanded thankfulness. Oh, give thanks to God for His mercy. Beloved, God calls you and He calls me this morning and every day of our lives to give thanks to Him for His mercy. Even apart from the creature, apart from the creation, God is a God of mercy. He is that in Himself. God is tenderly affected towards Himself. In His being, He doesn't need the creature to be good, and He doesn't need the creature to be a God of mercy. He simply is such a God, so that in the Trinity He is tenderly affected towards Himself, seeking Himself as the highest good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. That's what He is. But then the psalmist takes our hearts off of that glorious truth that God is good, and then directs us to consider that God is also the overflowing fountain of good, in that he shows mercy to us. He is tenderly affected towards us. And he wants us to taste that. God wants us to experience that he is the overflowing fountain of goodness. He wants us to know that goodness towards us. And it's striking in the psalm that he brings this up in the context of our low estate. The psalmist goes through the history of God creating the heavens and the earth, the history of his redemption of his people Israel in the past, and then says something about himself and about all of God's people in verse 23, who remembered us in our low estate and hath redeemed us from our enemies. God wants us to taste his mercy in this pilgrimage through the wilderness, even the valley of tears, to taste his mercy towards us. And so he sets himself to deliver us from our deepest woe and bring to us the greatest good. Not the goods that our flesh desires necessarily, although God does provide for us abundantly, but the greatest good, spiritual good. So he gives to us the preaching of the gospel that reminds us of God's enduring mercy in Jesus Christ. God gives to us the fellowship of the saints so that we might come together and encourage one another in our pilgrimage onward towards the heavenly Canaan. God gives those things that we would call good. But he sometimes also sends sickness. Sometimes he sends affliction. But that too is for our good. That to remind us that this world is not our home. He is bringing us toward the greatest good. Sometimes takes a loved one to glory to remind us of the hope of glory. Taking a loved one to glory there where they may experience the greatest good in all its fullness. Everything God sends to us in this valley of tears has the purpose of leading us onward towards that heavenly Canaan. And in our pilgrimage, God would have us taste his mercy. So he sent his only begotten Son to earn all the blessings of salvation that he gives to us. He applies that salvation to us by His Spirit. He regenerates us. He speaks to our consciences. A word of favor. He tells us, "You are perfectly righteous in my sight for Christ's sake." He speaks to us so that we know we are His dear children in this pilgrimage. He works in us day by day to sanctify us, and one day He will glorify us, bringing us to the end of our pilgrimage. Grace Congregation, God calls you to give thanks for His mercy. It's not just a one-time thing. God's mercy is not just something that we experience one day in our lives and then we have to make the rest of our pilgrimage on our own. The psalmist over and over reminds us that mercy endures. There's never a time in the whole of our pilgrimage that mercy is not with us, but rather it endures the whole of our pilgrimage. It follows us. That's what David expresses in Psalm 23. He says at the end of the psalm, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We may not always see it clearly. The sun may be blocked by the clouds so that we do not see the sun directly, but it still gives light. We know it's there yet. And so it is with God's mercy. It always pursues us, is always with us, like two shepherd dogs, when the psalmist says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," like two shepherd dogs following after the sheep, never allowing the sheep out of their eyesight, always leading, always guiding, always pursuing, in every circumstance, in every place, is God's mercy and His truth. How can you and I know that mercy endures? Besides the fact that the psalmist proclaims it, number one, because God is good. God is good in Himself, and because He is such a good God, He overflows with goodness, and that means that goodness always will be towards His people. And then in the second place, because He is Jehovah, that is tied as well with the nature of God. He is Jehovah. He is the great I Am. He never changes. Therefore, His mercy will endure all the days of our lives. That fountain of goodness never runs dry. Think of God providing water in the wilderness and manna in the wilderness to Israel. They never lacked. God always provided for them in the end. His mercy endures forever. And we can see it. It's not something hidden in heaven that we never see. We come back to that picture of the rays of the sun. We might not see those rays directly, but we see that light. And so too we can see God's mercy. We can see His mercy shining through His wondrous works. That's what the psalmist refers to in the beginning of the psalm. Why did God do all those wondrous works? To serve the cause of His mercy. Why did He make the heavens? Why did He stretch out the earth above the waters? Why did He make the sun and the moon and the stars? Exactly to serve the cause of His mercy. If God had not created the heavens and the earth and put the great lights in the sky to rule the day and the night, there would not be a people of God to experience His mercy. The creation is the backdrop, the stage on which God shows forth His mercy. For God to show His mercy, there needs to be air to breathe. For God to show His mercy, there needs to be an earth for us to live on. There needs to be a sun and the moon. Creation is that stage in which God displays His mercy. He reaches down, as it were, into the creation and displays His enduring mercy. God created everything in order to serve the cause of His mercy. And then God gives us a picture in the redemption of His people out of Egypt. He gives us a picture of His glorious plan for us. He delivered Egypt from that cruel bondage under Pharaoh. He preserved His people through the wilderness, providing for them constantly. And finally, He brought His people into the promised land, gave to them the land for a heritage, an inheritance, the land flowing with milk and honey. That's what God does for us in His mercy. Pays the ransom price to redeem us from our bondage to sin and to Satan. Preserves us in the wilderness of this world, and will finally bring us to that heavenly Canaan, as He has promised. His tender affection and His faithfulness to His promise are shown to us. What wonderful displays of God's mercy, beloved. Give thanks for that. Especially give thanks for that mercy that is manifested to us today. God's mercy reaches us today. It's not just a historical thing. His mercy delivers us today from the guilt of sin. For when we see we have fallen short of all that He has commanded us to do, His mercy delivers us from that which we deserve. Takes away all of our guilt. So mercy delivers us from the guilt, but also from the grip of sin. Sanctifies us so that we begin to walk in His ways. We begin to live lives of thankfulness to Him for all that He has done. That mercy is with us today. And that mercy will not let us go. Mercy conquers all of our enemies along the way. When it may appear that we will be conquered by sin, God comes with His mercy. When Pharaoh was pursuing after the Israelites, when they were hemmed in by the sea and Pharaoh's army was coming towards them, it appeared to human eyes that all was helpless. And then God opened up a way through the sea. And when it appeared that Pharaoh would catch Israel as they pursued Israel through the Red Sea, God brought the waters of the sea upon the enemies of Israel. Also in the wilderness, when Israel came up against great kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, Og, the king of Bashan, how can we ever conquer these kings and come into the land which God has promised? Not in their own strength. God gave them the victory over those great kings, enemies of God's people. You see, when God sets His mercy upon us, there's no power in all of the creation that can keep us from experiencing the mercy of God. Not the devil, not the world and all its power and all its persecution and all its agendas, not even our own sinful flesh can keep us from experiencing the mercy of God. If God gives food to all flesh, it's what the psalmist declares in verse 25. If God feeds the sparrows, of which two are sold for a farthing, little insignificant sparrows, if God cares for them, surely, beloved, He cares for you and for me. He watches over us, He does. Glorious, enduring mercy that God manifests, that we see in all of our lives. In light of that, do we not owe it to God to express our thankfulness . That's what God commands us. Giving thanks is what we are called to do. And giving thanks is not just some attitude that we have in our hearts. Giving thanks is something that we do. The Hebrew word translated give thanks has the idea of throwing or casting, like throwing out in the open or casting out in the open. And the idea of that casting out in the open is I have to stop my phone. Minister's worst nightmare. God would have us cast out into the open. To broadcast. Broadcast to others our thankfulness. Proclaim it openly. That's the idea of giving thanks. Yes, we have a thankful attitude in our hearts, but we also express that thankfulness. To one another. Express that thankfulness in the congregation. God is a merciful God, and God is merciful to me. We express that. We broadcast it for others to hear. Therefore, when we consider God's mercy to ourselves, give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. Give thanks to Jehovah. Lord, in all capitals, the psalmist uses. Give thanks to Jehovah, who is the great I am, and who gives to creatures of the dust his mercy. Condescends to creatures of the dust. Oh, give thanks to not only to Jehovah, but to the God of gods. The mighty God is the idea of that word that is used for God. The God who is powerful, who rules over all the powers of creation. Give thanks to him who rules over those things for the cause of his mercy. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. The master who rules over all masters. Give thanks unto the God of heaven. The God who rules in heaven over all the earth, and the God who is bringing us to heaven. Give thanks to the God of heaven. Gratefully acknowledge his mercy in the congregation, together as one body united in Jesus Christ. It is true. God commands us to give thanks, but he doesn't have to drive us with a whip. When he commands us to give thanks, we say, and this is what I want to do. I want to give thanks to God for all that he has done to me, all that he has done for us. The old man will say, I don't want to give thanks. Don't tell me to give thanks, but the new man says, I want to. I want to do what God has commanded me to do. And the very command that God gives in Scripture, in His mercy, is what God uses. God uses to work in our new man. That command is used by God to remind us to give thanks. We want to give thanks for all the provision that God has given to us in the wilderness of this world. We want to give thanks for family and friends, for jobs and warm homes. We want to give thanks for the church. But especially we want to thank Him for His mercy. Mercy makes all the difference. Because if you take away all those earthly things, and we still have His mercy, then we have a mountain to be thankful for. And on the other hand, give someone all the earthly goods that flesh could ever desire. But if they don't have mercy, then all those things are a curse to them. So give thanks for God's mercy. Give thanks for the enduring mercy of God. Give thanks for that mercy that pursues us all the days of our lives. Give thanks for that mercy that we experience today, and for the mercy that will one day bring us to glory. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we give Thee thanks on this Thanksgiving morning for Thy mercy. Grant to us that we would continue to experience that mercy in the wilderness of this world, where we have fallen short, forgive us, and continue, we pray, to grant us that we would taste Thy mercy. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.